You should know that I am rolling, and,
okay.
And at any moment I could use whatever you possibly might say.
That is good to know. I will speak only ill of you.
You will indeed, because what I have in front of me is just one of the most fantastic gifts I've ever gotten. I'm here with Stephen Thompson. I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered. Amazing, right?
I don't think I've ever heard that instrument struck without also hearing myself involuntarily go, ugh.
So someone sent us a gong. They make gongs. They do Gongs Unlimited as a company. And there was a story done on All Things Considered. Oh, I didn't mean to hit it that time, but that's
yeah.
Okay. a story on All Things Considered about this. And the fellow who makes these are the fan of the Tiny Desk Concert, so it's a Tiny Desk gong. It literally says that on the gong.
How he missed All Gongs Considered is just...
Oh, of course.
You know, I would say that I have a love-hate relationship with that gong, but I would be exactly 50% right.
I'm glad you love it. Stephen Thompson, since we're here together, we're going to play some music. We're going to have some of our colleagues come in, too, so... let's be nice to them as they come in one by one.
I promise nothing.
And how about if I make the first pick? Because I've got a nice upbeat song. I like when I get songs in and I play them and listen to them fairly blindfolded and just like them for right off the bat for what they are. And there's a song here by Alessi's Arc.
Mm-hmm.
It's Alessi Laurent Marc. She's a London artist and... this is a third record. It's called The Still Life. It comes out at the end of April. And what I loved about this, all the stuff that goes on in the background of just a beautiful, fun pop song. So
beautiful. Can't wait to hear it.
Great.
I'm
Nice, right?
That's superb. I, you know, I should listen to this show.
There's a song or two every now and again you might like. This song's called The Rain. The Still Life is the name of the record by Alessi's Ark. I think that's going to be a big record.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I saw her solo at South by Southwest, either South by Southwest or CMJ, like a few years ago, and just very, not entirely straightforward, but I just remember thinking, man, you know, singer-songwriter did not penetrate. And that song, I mean, there's just so much kind of whiz-bang effect going on in there. That's a really, really great song.
She did it in Athens, Georgia with Andy LeMaster, who I guess works with Drive-By Truckers and Azure Ray and Bright Eyes.
So from the band Now It's Overhead.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, really good musician.
So here we are. You liking doing this so far? If you get excited and want to hit the gong.
You know, honestly, Bob, I'm just not feeling it.
You're not feeling
no.
it?
No.
The whole show thing?
Just the whole show, this whole playing music and talking to you, buddy. I mean, I think it's the gong. I'm just putting it out there that it might be the gong. But, you know, I could play a song.
All right.
All right.
Does it involve a gong?
I really hope not. That would
I'll listen carefully.
Yeah, that would put a damper on it for me. I don't believe there is a gong. It is by a duo based in LA called Rye, R-H-Y-E. And I first heard about Rye from our colleague Ann Powers about a year ago. She said, it sounds like a male Sade. At that point, I wrote down Rye dash a male Sade question mark underline. And once I heard it, I get the sense of what she's talking about. Now, I would also say an also male Spandau Ballet.
Okay,
you know,
a little bit came closer for me having heard the record.
You know, kind of, you know, that kind of sleek, you know, kind of slightly seductive pop sound. I'm really smitten with it. It's got this gorgeous piano hook running through it. The song we'll play is called The Fall.
Love to it.
That's kind of sexy. You know, I had my... I'm going to take my headphones off so this is full effect. I had my hair cut to this music this morning. What do you think?
Well, it is a very sexy haircut.
See?
It
worked.
It's clearly inspired by the romance of the song. I just love it. I love that just kind of sweet but slightly sad undertone to it. It has a beautiful video as well. That, you know, I've just been very taken with it. Rye is actually, it's a duo, and the lead singer actually has recorded a bunch of solo records under the name Milosh, which, you know, I hadn't sunk into as much as I intend to now, having listened to this record. The album is called Woman. It comes out March 5th.
That's cool. I like the fact that the danceability of this song is not hitting you over the head.
Right.
I think that was my favorite part of it.
You kind of slide to it more than you want to dance to it.
Yeah, look at my hair.
Well, I know. Your hair is lovely.
Speaking of hair, hi, Jacob.
Jacob Gans.
Wait, are you guys calling me just a haircut?
Yeah.
Empty suit?
You are a haircut in man form.
Thank you.
You have more hair than, well, no, that's actually, everybody has more hair than I do.
I definitely don't have more hair than Steven.
Yeah. No, but you will have the ability to grow facial hair.
I do have more facial hair than anybody else in this room.
True. How do you like my gong so far? Now, Jacob,
all right,
Jacob
sits directly. Nice to see you guys. Bye.
Jacob sits directly across from me. Steven, a few more feet, more diagonal.
Not far.
In a little pod.
Not far enough. I'm still within the blast zone of gong strikes.
Yeah, when the other day when you were on your headphones and somebody needed to get your attention, I whacked that thing and it went right through those headphones. It worked, right?
I thought like an alarm was going off. It was very unnerving. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll try to strike it softly.
Jacob, how do you feel about Bob's gong, and by extension, Bob?
It's too bad that this is radio, because I'm giving him a look right now that...
it's going to melt the gong.
If the gong were a living thing, it would be wilting and dying right now.
That'll always be the dream.
Yeah.
Music is why we brought you down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't just to annoy me with the gong.
Not to talk about your hair or your
gong. Oh, we can do that upstairs, right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure
like
we will.
Every day.
Yes. Immediately after this, yes. All right, I have a song that I would like to play. Can I say two things about it real quick and then play it, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it afterwards? Okay, so the song is I Couldn't Be Your Friend by Tegan and Sarah.
And this isn't getting personal, is this?
No, this is not getting personal.
Second thing
The second thing is just it sounds to me a whole lot like a song that I've heard probably hundreds of times in the past couple of years, right at the beginning. I think that's enough to intro the song.
Awesome.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Cheater!
Bob, how do you like it?
You know, it's poppy over the toppy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured I'd play something that might sound like a gong.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah. No, I'm kidding. Long,
no.
So Tegan and Sarah,
I like them a lot.
Yeah, they've been doing this for a really, really long time. They're twins from Canada, from Calgary. They've put out a bunch of records that started out being just them with two acoustic guitars, their voices. This record was produced by Greg Kirsten. This record.
Shins.
A ton of musicians
Clarkson.
Who kind of like go on either side of the indie sort of pop line. Back.
Yeah, I was going to guess Max Martin? Who's the Swedish producer?
Yeah, Max Martin. Yeah, Dr. Luke. He's not on, those guys aren't on this, but Greg Kirsten's kind of like that perfect straddling the line between indie and pop. Like he's worked with Lily Allen and Shins and Santa Gold and
Kesha.
Foster the People, Rilo Kiley,
Kesha.
Beck, Kesha. He has worked with Kesha. But I think that the nice thing about this, this is a world premiere, by the way. I think this is the first place that you can hear this song anywhere on the internet.
That would be great for a world premiere. Every time we do a world premiere, I can hit the gong.
Totally. Greg Kirsten and his production touches on this song, which they are very poppy. It's a very like highly produced sound. There are lots of little touches in there that, you know, either depending on your taste, either add depth or just like make it radio friendly and grating. Their style, Tegan and Sarah as a duo, their vibe can stand up to something like mm-hmm. that. It's very identifiably.
And it's cool that they've tried this.
Yeah, it's very identifiably them. I think it, and for me, it works. Like I've listened to this song 20 or 30 times in the past week. For some reason, it does that thing where it's totally replayable. Mm-hmm. Did you guys hear the song that it reminds me of?
Totally.
Do you want to listen to the beginning again just to get it?
I think we got the thing because it was in there a lot. Let me just do this.
That's the one.
Yeah, sure enough, Grizzly Bear.
2 weeks, but pitched up a little bit and double time.
Double time.
Yep.
There's a big, there's a hearty dollop of the chemical compound Clarkso-Jepsenium in that song.
Yeah, it's a little bit sugar rushy. I like
cool.
it.
Cool. You got to be curious how the fans of Tegan and Sarah who follow them since those days of the duo guitars and stuff.
Especially since they've been very open about saying, this is our bid for pop stardom.
Exactly,
they have not pretended that it's anything else.
And in the door walks Daoud, Tyler Amin. I don't think there's anyone left on the fifth floor doing any kind of music writing stuff. The blogs are going to shut down.
Actually, no. Everybody's huddled up there enjoying the absence of the gong.
I see. You guys really don't like it, do you?
No, where would you get that idea from?
Okay, good. Thanks, Jacob Gans.
Thanks, Bob.
So one of the reasons Daoud's here, not only has good musical taste, and we like the guy, actually, right? You like him.
All right, yes.
Compared to
yes.
my gong.
Let's, yes, yes.
So,
did I pause too
the,
long?
The week, something really weird happened. Daoud was walking around, and he was just wondering. He had this, like, what is that? Where is that coming from? There was this music just muted, playing somewhere, and so I started looking around with you.
That's right. Out of the air
had
come a song called None of You Will Ever See a Penny.
Which you knew right off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a song that I actually have some really personal associations with. So it's this song by Final Fantasy, violinist, composer, singer, who goes by his real name now, Owen Pallett. To hear it just sort of come out of nowhere as
if in a
movie.
It really did sound like it was coming out of the air.
And so I said to my seatmate, Lars Gotrich, our NPR Music's metal expert.
They actually share a chair.
I said, do you hear that? And he gave me a look like, well, I don't know. And I got up and I started walking around. I tried to figure out if it was coming from somebody's headphones or a closed office somewhere. And I got sort of more and more into an emotional froth because no matter where I seemed to walk, the sound of it didn't get any quieter or louder.
And of all songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you feel like you were in the movie of your life and that this is the soundtrack playing over you.
And finally, I'm totally defeated. I'm sitting on the edge of my desk. You have gotten up, Bob, and are staring at me with just awe and wonderment. And finally, as if we'd had the thought at the same time, we make eye contact, and you say, your back pocket.
Yes.
And I reach in my pocket, and my iPhone has somehow clicked on and queued up that song. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, the best part about it was the laugh that we all had at Dawood's expense. Yeah.
I mean...
Indeed.
They used to call me Milhouse in this office, and I thought I had shaken it off.
I used to call you Milhouse in this office.
That was the song that was kind of the soundtrack of leaving New York for me. And I moved to D.C. a couple of months later, and there was a pretty steep learning curve. I think, you know, I had basically never lived anywhere but my hometown. The whole ecosystem of how you find cool art and culture and ways and places to make friends was pretty impenetrable. And there was this one night that I remember being the night that things kind of turned around. I followed a tip from a friend of a friend that found me at a vegan soul food restaurant at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night, walked in, and by the efforts of a handful of people, there was a punk show about to start. People had organized, they had booked bands, they had, you know, hauled monitors and amps and things like that. And it was the first sort of glimmer that, like, maybe things are going to be okay here. Yeah. And then basically as soon as I walked in, a band called Reviver started playing, a pop punk band from the Northwest. That's R-V-I-V-R. And it just happens that they've got a new record on the way. So I'm going to play a song from them. This is called Spider Song.
I love that moment. That's great that you walk into a place and
don't you feel like you belong now?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes music finds us.
That's right. So, I mean, they're so earnest that you almost wonder if they're for real. But that night, just the smiles in that room, I don't know. I'll never forget it.
That's awesome. Reviver?
Reviver. R-V-I-V-R. That record is so new that it doesn't even have a name yet. But it'll come out this March or April. And for now, you can find out about it at their website. That's rvivr.com.
Great. Thanks, Dawood.
Sure.
Nice.
I think you can compare Juliana Barwick with this band.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. You know what? I'm going to find the the tiny thread of connective tissue between Reviver and Juliana Barwick. I first connected to Juliana Barwick's music in a really, really big way. I was driving with my kids on the New Jersey Turnpike at sunset, kind of relaxing. Everybody's quiet. I put in...
Wait a minute. You can't relax driving on the New Jersey Turnpike.
It was not rush hour traffic. It was some strange time of day. Everybody slags New Jersey. New Jersey's fine.
It's a turnpike I'm slagging, not the state. Go on.
Anyway, it was this incredibly hypnotic, inspiring, kind of enveloping warmth.
And then your children said, Dad, are we there yet?
And the kids were like, whatever, and looked back down at their Nintendo 3DSs or whatever. But anyway, Juliana Barwick's music kind of found me in that moment, and I've really loved it ever since. And she's got a new 7-inch single coming out in March, and the main song is called Pacing. And thought we'd play it right here. It's a little different from Reviver.
Thank you.
I can feel the tension kind of drifting out of my shoulders listening. It's just so beautiful. Now, see, so much better than a gong. So much better than a gong.
I would take Juliana Barwick over a gong.
Thank you. We should just have Juliana Barwick come and be at your desk.
But when I don't have Juliana Barwick. So maybe we should go on to our next guest.
Yeah. The next person who is not a gong.
Well, I'll introduce her to my gong because she's not seen it yet.
I will sigh beleagueredly.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome.
So let's now go to Mali. There's been so much politically going on in Mali. We covered some of that ground when we were at Global Fest about a week ago. And just shortly after that festival in New York City, a video came out, and Anastasia Tsoulkas is here to tell us about this amazing video where all these musicians important in Mali went to Bamako and recorded a song for peace.
That's right. Well, if you watched or listened to our Global Fest coverage, you may have found this amazing singer and actress and dancer named Fatoumata Jawara, who used to be a member of Oumou Sangaré's band as a backup singer, and she sort of blossomed on her own as an incredible stage presence and musician. And actually, a few days before Global Fest, she'd just come back from Bamako, as you said, Bob, where she had gathered together some 40 musicians from across Mali, as much as she could muster, to sing a song that she'd written that they helped co-write, outlining what's going on in the north of Mali and what is the chaos that's verging to swallow up the entire country.
And help explain that in a nutshell for people who don't understand the conflict there.
Well, you know, I think there's tons of good reading to be had on NPR.org about it, and it's really hard to frame in just a few words, but essentially Islamist extremists have come into the northern part of Mali, and the idea is that they're probably not actually Malians, most of them, trying to impose their version of a correct society, including Sharia law and outlawing music and stoning people and all the rest. And they've taken over the huge northern deserts of Mali already, and they've been trying to come southward as well. And of course, now the French army is involved in trying to fend them off. But in the meantime, it's created this enormous humanitarian crisis in Mali, an enormous crisis of confidence and day-to-day chaos. It's a really terrifying time. And obviously, Mali is a country of such amazing musicianship that it's become really near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. Mm-hmm. So Fatoumata Jawara, the singer, brought together all these amazing forces. Amadou and Mariam are on this video, Oumou Sangaré, Ali Farka Touré, son Vieux Farka Touré, Khadr Arbi, Toumani Diabaté, all these amazing musicians whom we've gotten to know and love over the years, came together to sing the song called Maliko, or Peace, it's also called, and sort of saying, laying things out, not for an outside audience necessarily. They're not asking for money or anything like that, but it's what they're saying is, we need to be strong, we need to be united, this is not who we are, and we need to stand up and fight back.
And we put the video on the All Songs Considered blog. You can see it there, along with the lyrics that are subtitled in English so you can understand the words and the plea and the passion. So let's play this song, and you can watch the video, as I say, online as well. Yeah.
on est tous égalés contre tout le monde. On est la meilleure qu'elle est vite devant tout le monde. Tu n'as ta quitte et un amali tout gay. A Kabourouna qui est mon ébaïna et n'y a pas qu'elle est. Quelle est ma la bateau? On est ta place dans la cape et ma soupe et ma tema. A la barricade.
It's just an amazing thing. And even if you don't understand Bambara or the languages that they're singing in, you can hear that passion in their voices. And it's a great thing now that the English translations are available both on YouTube and on SoundCloud. So it's all the more accessible to those of us from outside of Mali. The nice thing is that Fatoumata and her colleagues are saying that any funds raised from the Google ads that show up on the video or anything like that is going to go to help refugees who are fleeing the chaos in Mali. And it's all a very, very good thing. It's a very strong and beautiful message.
It's wonderful when music brings awareness to an issue to people outside the area where the trouble is. I think this song will engage a lot of, especially Americans who, like we've said, have come to love Mali so much a part of our music, blues music and so forth. You can hear in their music.
Absolutely. And you know, when you have these political forces who are trying to silence people, especially through music, you know, in the north, music's been banned. Intidal from Tinarwan was kidnapped when he actually went to save his guitars from an invading militia. I mean, music is an integral part of this, and the fact that these musicians are using their art and their voices to fight this kind of injustice is pretty amazing.
Thanks so much, Anastasia.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Be well. One of the things that I'm excited about is I just got three vinyl discs from Third Man Records. One is a Mississippi Sheiks record. Another is a Blind Willie McTell record. And the third is this fabulous Charlie Patton record. And on the line now to just talk about these, because it's your baby, Jack White. Hi.
Hello.
These are all pretty amazing. You want to just encapsulate why these three and what's going on here with these releases?
Yes. I've been anxious to team up with Document Records, which was a label that put out lots of blues records, hundreds of blues and folk records over the last few decades. And they were out of Austria, and they were bought by this guy, Gary Atkinson, in Scotland. And he bought the entire catalog over, and he'd been putting them out in Europe. What I've been noticing since we started Third Man Records, since I've been interested in blues music, is that all the blues classic songs are not available on vinyl at all. You had to buy the old pressings of them. All the labels like Document and Yazoo and Arhuli, they went to CD and digital, which is all great because it makes them very easily available, but they stopped pressing them on vinyl for some reason. So we were anxious to see if Document would team up with us and let us press these on vinyl so that you could actually have these records, and also to keep them in print as long as Third Man Records is in business. I don't like records not being in print very much. So they said yes, and he has hundreds of titles, and it was just a matter of, you know, like, all right, let's get started. Well, which ones do you want to start with? Yes, and Charlie Patton was the first thing I said. Like, we want to do Charlie Patton first. We want to do the complete works of Charlie Patton.
Why Charlie Patton? What is it about Charlie Patton that people often say, and you're in love with, but people say he's the man?
He is basically the great-grandfather of all American and Western music, in my opinion, that has lasted the test of time. You know, there's a lot of music this country and this part of the world has put out, and a lot that's come from Africa and come through that system and come through the whole culture of America. But the beginnings of it, to me, are the blues. And that has spun it off into so many things that have, you know, now into country, into rockabilly, into jazz, and into rock and roll, and all kinds of popular music nowadays. So if we're talking about that, we're talking about the early days of the blues and who was generating a lot of these ideas and the chord changes that went along with it that set up the whole structure. And there's people before Charlie Patton, but he was the first big name. And what makes him important is because of the people who followed him: Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker, Willie Brown, Tommy Johnson, the Son House. They all followed him around and were copying what he was coming up with. And they took it. They were his disciples that took it out and spread it across the Delta and then onward and upward to Chicago and to the rest of the world.
We'll certainly play some of his music in a minute. But if you were to define, like, what's the quality that's unique about him that made people and make you so attracted to this sound?
Charlie Patton is a big mystery, first of all. And part two is that most people, I would imagine, because I was like this myself, when I first heard Charlie Patton, I didn't really like it. And I couldn't hear anything he was saying. It just sounded like a bunch of mumbled, you know, marbles in his mouth, kind of badly recorded blues music. And I just, when I first heard it, I just said, whatever, and maybe I'll get back to this some other time. But next time I listen to it, and a third time, I think, oh my God, this music is amazing. This person is unbelievable. And the filter started to come off, and I started to really realize what he was putting down and why he was probably so influential to everyone around him.
Was it in the guitar playing? Is it in the voice? Or are you going to tell me all of the above?
I think all of the above. On top of that, just him as a character, we start with him as a person, too. He was known to be a mix of black, white, and Cherokee Indian. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great cross-section of America, yeah. First of all, just who he was as a person, and that he was able to be influential enough that all those blues singers would follow him around. You're talking about a lot of egos and a lot of ideas and a lot of free men that were not listening to any rules or anyone telling them what to do. The fact that they're following around somebody shows that his influence must have been pretty strong back then. That's just him as a character that we can imagine, but also his music alone is very, very powerful. He's doing very strange chord changes, and very strange tempos and ideas are going on there. And some of these are the building blocks of popular music that we hear nowadays.
He sounded like a bit of a hot dog, too. I've read things where he could do the playing guitar behind his head sort of stuff, right? Yeah,
when Jimi Hendrix came out and was, setting his guitar on fire and playing behind his head and all that, people forget, in history that people had done some of those things. Jerry Lewis had set his piano on fire before that. But Charlie Patton was playing guitar through his legs and behind his back in the 1930s. No diss on Hendrix, by the way.
No. I'm sure not.
Just the idea that we forget sometimes, yeah.
What do you want to play?
A good song to listen to Charlie Patton is Boll Weevil.
It's such a weird name. Yeah. People have not heard. When I grew up, it was Brooke Benton had a pop version of this song, the Boll Weevil Blues. I think it may have even been spelled B-O-L-L.
Yeah.
W-E. There's so many different ways. W-E-V-I-L.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's an insect. Cotton was the thing, and it's what it ate. And so
it ate up cotton crops and obviously made everybody real happy.
and Charlie Patton wrote this song. This was recorded. Is this the first recording? Because I'm holding a disc in my hand, and it says the date's June 14th, 1929.
Yeah, he did. I heard it was recorded in July 29, but he had to, there was people who had sung a Boll Weevil type songs before him, and his song. You can, an argument can be made whether Charlie Patton's Boll Weevil or Leadbelly's Boll Weevil is quote unquote more important. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Leadbelly's version becomes the standard. It encompasses all the different aspects of what became the popular ballad of the Boll Weevil that a lot of blues singers ended up covering all the way to this day. But Charlie Patton was like the first to put it out there, the idea, and sort of bring them all together and give it a structure.
I love the way they give character to this insect. It basically putting them out of house and home.
Yeah.
Let's play Boll Weevil Blues, Charlie Patton.
There's a little boll weevil keep moving in the lonely. You be playing your cotton and you won't get a heaven stay. Louisiana didn't take a little while, pretty bold on her. Well, I started Boll Weevil, Lord, I sang a lot of Indiana on her. The next time I see them, Lord, they had a family there on her. Boll Weevil left taking a lot of business, say, well, Lord. Where you going now? I'm going down to Mississippi, gonna get a little down ahead, Lord. Boy, we are set for one. They ain't got you to fail, Lord. Fire that water. Suck all the blood and then leave you a happy square, Lord. Next time I see you, I had your family there, Lord. Boy, we're a little white, we sit down on the hill, Lord. Boy, we do a total wife, let's take this for the hill, Lord. Boy, we do a total wife, let's leave, I'll make a law, Lord. Tell about it. Let her leave in Louisiana and go to Arkansas. Well, I saw the bull weaver, Lord, I saw the Lord in the air. Next time I see the bloody hand of family there. Well, we were told about it. I think I'd see you back.
You want to remark at all on that guitar playing?
It's so strange.
Yes.
The rhythm that he's picking are so bizarre. I can't imagine some of them sitting down and trying to play them. I think that comes from not being that schooled by 15 other guitar players around you doing the exact same or doing some other things where that sounds more to me like someone playing from themselves or teaching themselves how to play those kind of rhythms. But it's so strange.
It sometimes sounds like he's mimicking what might be someone else kind of singing along with him or playing along.
Yeah,
with him.
It's like he's mimicking his own voice too at the end of the lines.
Right.
In his version of Bo Weevil, he's talking about Texas and Mississippi and Louisiana and where the bug is going, and that he has his family with him, and he's bringing his family with him. So he's setting up the ideas of what will end up being used in the Bo Weevil versions of other people like Blind Willie McTell and Lead Belly.
Do you remember the moment for you that you got attracted and sucked into the blues?
Sunhouse brought me into the blues deeply. I had been tangentially into it through rock and roll when I was younger and knew about different things. I liked Howlin' Wolf a lot, and I liked Robert Johnson a little bit. But it was Sunhouse who really drew me in and made me sort of give up on most everything for a little while.
What was it about Sunhouse?
I just thought he was the truth, and that was it. And what he was saying was the truth, and it had stripped away all of everything. And I was involved already in trying to break things down, and I think because of Sunhouse's songs, especially the a cappella ones, that it led me to want to do what I did with the White Stripes and break things down in a real minimalistic way so I could get closer to the blues.
That's awesome. You think you're going to drive your truck down to Austin this year and...
I want to. Yeah, we're trying to see about that.
Yeah,
we went there the last couple of years. I think I'm not going to go myself this time.
Uh huh. You'd be well.
Yeah. All right, man.
Talk soon. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Cheers.
All right.
Jack White, the new collection of music to Charlie Patton, the Blind Willie McTell, and the Mississippi Sheiks records are coming out the 29th of this month. The song we heard was Mississippi Boll Weevil Blues. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.